Support for WPR comes from the Wisconsin DNR. Preventing food waste and composting scraps and uneaten veggies, grains, and fruit can help the environment. More dnr.wi.gov by searching food waste.
Support for WPR comes from Wills on behalf of Wisconsin Public Libraries, offering access to ebooks, audiobooks, digital magazines, and more. Available with a Wisconsin Library Card at wisconsinsdigitallibrary.org.
The Social Security Administration has released the most popular baby names in America for 2013. And we'll discuss what's tops and what's nots anymore, and what's coming back, and other baby naming trends this hour. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, May 13th. Our guest has spent the past decade studying the names that we give our children to help parents find the perfect names for their children and understand what name trends tell us about our society. So what's the story behind the names in your family? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Laura Wattenberg, the creator of the baby name website, babynamewizard.com, and the author of the book, Baby Name Wizard. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. It is an interesting time in names.
It sure is. Remind us, Laura, how you got interested in baby naming.
Not surprisingly, my interest started when I was trying to name my own children. But being a little bit of an obsessive researcher, instead of just looking up the meanings and origins, I started plotting graphs of the expected popularity curve and seeing which names seem to rise and fall together. And the more I looked at it, the more I realized that there was a lot more going on, that names tell a much bigger story than the traditional name dictionary really gives them credit for.
Well, we'll get into that bigger story, but were you able to predict that Jacob was going to be knocked off the top spot on the 2013 Social Security list?
Jacob's demise was in the cards. This is the first year in the 21st century that Jacob is not the number one name for boys in America, but it had been declining steadily for a decade. It was time for something else to take over, and the new number one name shows what's different and what's still the same.
All right, well, the number one name for boys is now Noah. What is different and what's the same there?
The number one name is Noah, which, like Jacob, is a classic Old Testament Bible name. So that much is the same. And it shows that the names that reach the top are still the names there's a lot of consensus about. They're familiar, they come from somewhere. But the sound of Noah is very different. Jacob has a classic masculine sound in that it has those hard edges like Mark or Scott or Robert. It's recognizably a male name. Noah is a very, very smooth name that ends in a vowel sound. And in fact, if you look at what's rising for boys, it's names with a sound that's closer to what we think of as traditionally feminine.
Yeah, Liam is the number two name, and yeah, that's kind of feminine sounding.
Liam is also a smooth name. Not to say that either of these are going to be mistaken for girls'
right.
names. They're decidedly masculine. But the exact same sounds are rising on the boys' and girls' charts. So for Liam, you have a perfect anagram in the name Mila, which is also rising fast.
Yeah. Well, why did Jacob fall out of favor? I mean, do we know?
I think Jacob fell gradually. It's still a very popular name. But part of what's happening is that there's a kind of reverse arms race in American baby naming today, that we have rankings. As soon as you start ranking things, people pay attention and they want to win. But with baby names, nobody wants to be number one. Parents are actively avoiding names they see as too popular.
Why is that?
We're in an era when individuality is a virtue, but also where parents are really concerned about helping their kids stand out. When I listen to parents today, nobody says, I want to make sure my kid sounds normal. That was once the number one thing. You didn't want your kid to sound weird and be ostracized. Today, parents are naming children almost the way we would name a brand in the marketplace, that you want to position your child for the optimal advantage, and that means getting people's attention.
Yeah, and don't you run the risk, though, of helping your kids stand out too much with a super unusual name?
There is the fact that most kids are still happy to fit in. So this is being driven by the parents, of course. We're choosing names for the next generation, so maybe it says more about ourselves than it does about our kids.
Yeah. Well, we didn't go through all the boys' names yet, but what about the girls' names? We have Sophia, number one. Is that the same as it has been?
Sophia is in its second year at number one, and the girls' names are remarkably unchanged. In fact, the top 10 are all the exact same 10 names with just small differences in order. So that also is a change from the past. It used to be we were more conservative about naming boys' names. They changed more slowly. But today, boys' names are every bit as much objects of fashion as girls are.
Interesting. So, and I'm looking here for names like, like John for boys or Mary for girls, and they're not in the top 10.
They're nowhere near the top 10. Mm-hmm. Those names scream ordinary, which is not necessarily a bad thing. If you look back through American history, the most successful names have been the common names that people respond well to. So that's the disadvantage, potentially, of choosing a really unusual name. The stronger the style, the more people say, ooh, the more you know there's going to be somebody who says, ick.
And anything, what else stands out to you on the girls' names in terms of, is there anything there that's worth noting? We have Sophia, Emma, Olivia, Isabella. Is it Ava or Ava?
Usually Ava, as mm-hmm. in Ava Gardner.
Yes, and Mia, Emily, Abigail, Madison, and Elizabeth.
I think you see two different strains of fashion going there. There's the very old-fashioned feminine sound of a Sophia or Olivia or Isabella, so the sort of long, flowing names. And then at the same time, there's a sharper, androgynous sound. So Harper, for instance, is now just outside the top 10 for girls. So you see two different approaches to naming girls in our society, and it'll be interesting to see how those get along in the future.
And I happen to know a young man by the name of Harper. Is Harper on the boys' list at all?
Harper is on the boys' list. It mm-hmm. became more common for girls because the most prominent Harper is author Harper Lee of To Kill a Mockingbird.
Mm-hmm.
In her case, that wasn't her first name. Her first name was actually Nell, but she goes by Harper. And whenever you have an example like that, so Tatum, as in Tatum O'Neill, a name that first becomes familiar through a female example, that gives you a chance to use a name that with an androgynous sound but a feminine core.
And then for the top 10 for boys, Noah, Liam, Jacob, Mason, William, Ethan, Michael, Alexander, Jaden, and Daniel. What else stands out there besides Noah taking the top spot?
Well, as you were reading it, it sounded a little bit like a poem or a chant. Boys' names today have a standard sound. A remarkable percentage are two syllables with a stress on the first syllable, and preferably ending in the letter M. It's sort of a sound that even if no two kids in the classroom have the same name, they'll all have the same rhythm.
Interesting. And you also note that Liam and Noah are the sound category that you've identified as raindrop names. What do you mean by raindrop names?
I call these names raindrop names because they're smooth as a liquid. There's nothing, no hard sound to stop the flow of the sound. But they're also tiny, no more than four letters, but multiple syllables. It sounds like a abstract category, but any name you can imagine that fits that description is rising. Yeah. On the girls' side, there's Luna and Mia and Emma. And the boys' side, you see Noah and Liam climbing to the top. But I should say not any name. It's any name that parents weren't used to when they were kids. So Amy and Mary don't have to apply.
I see. what general, I don't know, what do you read into this in terms of what does this tell us about our society?
I think when you see sounds dominating like that, the same sounds occurring up and down the charts for boys and girls, you have to think of what people aren't using and choosing their names. The answer is they're not naming after their parents and grandparents. We're not choosing the names of leaders anymore. It used to be that every time a new American president was elected, you'd see a spike in little babies named Warren and Harding or Calvin and Coolidge. We don't do that anymore. Even for our own parents, we'll put their names as the middle name mm-hmm. rather than sacrificing fashion for the homage to our family.
So there aren't many babies being named Barack?
Very few, and I don't think it's anything personal. It was the same thing with more familiar name-sounding presidents like Clinton or Reagan. In fact, we do name after presidents once they're out of office or, frankly, dead. Ronald Reagan actually inspired more namesakes by passing away than by being elected.
As first names?
As first names, yeah. Yes. There are boys and girls named Reagan now.
Yeah. We are talking about baby names and what baby name trends tell us about society. And we're wondering how you got your moniker. We're wondering how you chose the names or name for your child or children. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Laura Wattenberg. She's the creator of the baby name website, babynamewizard.com, and also author of the book, The Baby Name Wizard. And we are talking about baby names because the Social Security just released its annual list of the most popular baby names in America. We're talking about why they are popular and which ones are not as popular and why and what this all says about us. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Let's go to Brian and Nina. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Hi. What is did you pick some unusual or popular baby names?
Yes, she hit it right on the head there. My wife and I poured over the Social Security website looking for names that were unpopular. And for our daughter, who's now 2.5, we chose Imogene, I-M-O-G-E-N-E, which I believe was popular like in the Depression era for women. And also from the children's book, Imogene's Antlers. And for our son, we picked Truman, just mostly because we liked the name. But we've chosen to, if people ask us, to associate it with the movie The Truman Show with Jim Carrey.
Very interesting. So you wanted the least popular or unpopular names because, Brian, why did you want to do that?
Oh, just kind of like she said, originality. My wife is a kindergarten teacher, and so, you know, 90% of the names got pulled out right away because she knew some of them or had some in her class that were not good little children.
I know how that is. Yeah, you kind of have a bad impression of someone, and you don't want to name your child that.
Yes, I'd have a name that I liked, and she said, "Nope, I had one of those 2 years ago."
Well, I think they're beautiful. I love those names. And what do you make of the story, Laura?
Those are lovely names, and yes, teachers always tell me that they have the worst trouble choosing names. Not only do they have associations with all of them, but you don't want to seem like you're naming after one child and not another. The funny thing is that today we're all sort of in the situation of teachers because with the proliferation of 1,000 cable channels and all the media we have today, we're all hearing more names coming through constantly. So we have more associations.
Yeah. And how about what's was once old is new again?
Parents are looking to the past if they have a traditional mindset. So the kind of parents who don't want a name to sound made up still want to feel creative and want something unusual. So they go back in time. We look typically to the time of around our great grandparents for when names start to sound fresh again.
Yeah, the like Imogene. That's a very pretty name. I'm thinking of. I think you wrote a piece on that was posted on your Facebook page about Bruce Willis and his latest I guess, children, and how he kind of they took names that were sort of old fashioned names.
I think that was one was from our sister site, Name Candy, but definitely a name like Imogene fits a lot of the sounds we like. If you think of it as similar to a Caroline or Madeline, but a little bit less common. It's more common in the UK. Their British baby styles are a little bit different from ours.
Yeah. Let's go to Hope in Appleton. That's a very pretty name, Hope. How did you get that?
Thank you. I got my name because I was 2 months premature. I was a preemie.
Oh.
And they hoped that I would live. And then I have two girls. And one is Aura, and the other one is Vita. And Aura is for, like, the light around you, your light aura. And then Vita, my ex-husband, was looking in a book and found that name, and we liked it. And it's Slavic.
Yeah, Aura and Vita, very pretty. And Hope, I'm glad you made it. And your parents wanted to name you Hope because they had hope for you. Yeah.
Yep.
Laura, what about that?
It's a beautiful story. And there shows also the way you chose your names and the way your parents chose your names. They're both looking at meanings, but in a slightly different way. So they chose a very bold and literal way of expressing their hopes and dreams. Whereas with the gold and the life force, since Vita also corresponds to the word for, root for life, you're suggesting that all without necessarily saying it in the same way.
Oh, that's interesting. Thanks for the call, Hope. What about you? How did you get your name? How did you choose the names that you chose for your children? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, here's another one. Do you think your name helped you or hurt you in any way? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Laura, what is the generational switcheroo that you wrote about?
Oh, that's from the perspective of learning other people's names. We build up expectations of who people are from their names. So you hear I'm meeting Herman and Agnes, you have a very different impression than I'm going to go meet Ryan and Ashley.
Uh-huh.
But once in a while, you meet a parent and child whose names cross up your expectations. So let's say the mother is named Madison and the daughter is named Amy. I think you'll find that you cannot keep their names straight. And that shows that your mind is constantly trying to fit names into categories.
Yeah, we associate certain names with the older generations versus younger generations.
There is an enormous amount of information carried in just a few letters of a name.
Yeah. So you also dug a little deeper into the Social Security list and went beyond the top 10. What sorts of trends did you see? For instance, how about fastest rising rare boys' names?
The fastest rising names for boys, whether rare or common, are remarkably similar this year. They'll all sound the same, but they all look different written down. It's Jace and Jason. But Jason is not like Jason and the Argonauts or the Jason of the 1970s. It's Jayceon, and even more unusual spellings. That's all thanks to reality television. Both Jace and Jason, spelled that way, are the stars of reality TV shows, Duck Dynasty and Marrying the Game, respectively.
Seriously? So parents are pulling that name off of reality TV?
Believe it or not, reality TV is the biggest trend maker, more than Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. Every year, thousands of names of people from every walk of American society are getting piped into our living rooms. So a few years back, Macy and Bentley, who were a mother and baby star of the TV series Teen Mom, were the biggest style makers. We're definitely not looking for role models in that case. We're just looking for new ideas.
Oh, and briefly, in terms of girls?
In terms of girls, they're all over the map, and you definitely see, again, people looking anywhere. I have to dig deeper and deeper every year to figure out where these names are coming from. So, that, for instance, there's a Spanish language reality TV show called Larry Mania about a singer named Larry Hernandez. On that show, he has a little toddler who named Deleza. So Deleza was the top fastest rising name for girls.
Interesting. Well, let's take another call or two before our news break. Rebecca in Eau Claire. Hello, Rebecca.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes. What is your name story?
My name is spelled the normal way for Rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-C-A. And my mom has always said that she named all of her kids so that we could be presidents with normal spelling. But my nickname is Becca, B-E-K-K-A. And that is from the region in Saudi Arabia where my dad served in the armed forces, the Bek region, B-E-K.
Well, isn't that interesting? Are you going to be president?
I'm really confused. I don't think I will be. I'm a school teacher. I'm a music teacher. But it really confused all my teachers growing up because I would write my name B-E-K-K-A, and then they would say, no, that's wrong. And then I'd get mad.
Excuse me, I'm right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, isn't that's something? B-E-K-K-A for Becca.
It's a great way to personalize your name mm-hmm. based on your life. But, you know, in the last presidential election, we finally gotten away from your grandmother's expectations. We had candidates named Barack and Mitt, the most unusual naming pair in presidential history.
That's right. Well, that's interesting. Well, we'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about baby names and what's in a name and how we choose the names for our children. And what baby names and baby name trends tell us about our society. We are talking with Laura Wattenberg, the creator of the baby name website, babynamewizard.com, the author of the book, The Baby Name Wizard, talking about baby names because the Social Security Administration released its annual list of the most popular baby names in America for the past year. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are discussing the most popular baby names in America, according to the just-released annual list from the Social Security Administration. And we are figuring out why certain names travel to the top of that list and what naming trends tell us about society and parents in general. I'm Joy Cardine. My name is Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Tuesday, May 13th. The big news from the Social Security baby name list is that Jacob fell out of the number one spot for boys' names for the first time in the 21st century. Noah is the new champion, followed by Liam at number two. Jacob is now number three. Sophia, Emma, and Olivia were the top three names for girls last year. So what is your name, and how did you get that name? How do you like that name? Has it fit you well? Have you changed it? Why did you choose the name that you chose for your children? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Laura Wattenberg. She is the creator of the baby name website, babynamewizard.com, and author of the book, The Baby Name Wizard. And our next caller is Leroy in Watertown. Hi, Leroy.
Hi. How are you doing, Jay? Joy?
It's Joy, but that's okay. What's in a name, huh?
What's in a name? Well, the reason I'm calling is I was wondering when my name is going to be coming up in the list, because it's rather unusual. You don't hear that name too often.
Leroy. And did you go Leroy. By that name your whole life?
When I was in grade school, the nuns always called me Leroy, so I rather disliked it. When I got older, I changed it to Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And just dropped off the Roy, which I like much better than the Leroy.
Yeah, and Leroy is, I've heard it pronounced that way too. Well, Laura, what about the name Leroy? Where is that in on the list?
Oh, I'm sorry to say, there's no momentum yet. That is not a sound that parents favor for boys, not just Leroy, but also Roy itself, which was once a common name. We're not really choosing those that oi sound, frankly. It is likely to come again, though, just because the name cycle is getting faster and faster. It's more competitive, and we're more acutely aware of when something seems too common. So parents are constantly looking for something new.
Yeah, so joy is not popular either these days.
In fact, you are the best hope for that whole family of names. Joy did rise this past year pretty high.
Really? So what, middle of the pack?
Down? Yes, you are definitely, you're up to middle of the pack, and there's hope for the future, especially with other virtue names like hope and faith rising so fast.
Yeah, and I think I did tell the story the last time we had you on, Laura. That was because my mother thought I was a joy. It was a joy to have me at her in her early 40s. She didn't expect to have another baby. So
that's a beautiful story, and it just illustrates how if you have a story associated with your name, it adds an extra layer of meaning within your family, whatever name you choose.
Right. And it was also a J. I started with a J, and I had sisters, their name started with J. Parents like to do that sometimes, having similar letters with their family, yes or no?
Parents do like to have a theme or a matched set, but very often they don't intend it to start that way. Even the Duggar family, with their dozens of J children, just happened to choose J names for their first two kids, and then with every child after that thought, well, we don't want them to feel like they're left out.
Well, my producer, Robin Cherry, just told me during the news break that her father's name was Robert, and there is a brother, Robert Jr., and her mother was the one who said she also wanted her daughter to have a namesake similar to Robert, and so she got Robin.
I think that's a really positive impulse. Any family where you know that, say, that the first son is going to be a junior, you don't necessarily have to name everybody after dad, but choosing some name with a similar family meaning so that there's some special story you can tell so the kids feel like they were treated equally.
Yeah, and Robin's name is spelt with a Y and not an I, and she said it was just because her father wanted it to be different. So
the I to Y switch is one of the favorite ways to personalize a name. Also, turning C's into K's. Our language is nice and flexible about having a dozen different ways to pronounce the same sound.
Yeah. And let's go to another call. Barb in Green Bay. Hi, Barb.
Hi, Joy. Good morning. I'm calling with the perspective of a grandparent. My son is expecting their third boy, and they're thinking of the name Atticus Tiberius. And their other two sons are named Ulrich Killian and Leopold Victor. And I'm just wondering, how does that affect a child having such a long, kind of ancient name, and what your guest thinks about that?
Yeah, Barb, are you a little concerned?
Well, yes.
No. Atticus. All right, so having an ancient-sounding name like that, Laura, very unusual in this day and age, does that affect a child negatively? Do we know?
Well, it's less unusual than you might think. It's a good demonstration that a traditional name can still be creative. But you might be surprised that Atticus is actually quite a fashionable name today. A boy is more likely to be named Atticus than Donald or Bruce today. I think that kids now are growing up in a different naming environment where our perception of normal is not the same as theirs. They are growing up in a classroom where they might not know a boy named John or a girl named Mary. So the good news is kids are a lot more accepting than they used to be of different names. I think the bad news is that there is a little bit of a loss of common ground. If you think about schools turning to back to school uniforms because people don't read too much into them, it doesn't show anything about who you are, how much money your family has. The same thing used to be true of John and Mary. That could be anyone. Today, your name signals more about who you are and where you came from.
Does that make you feel better, Barb?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. Yeah, I let's go to Heidi in Oak Creek. Hello, Heidi.
Hi, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. What's your name story?
Well, I just have two short ones, and one of them is actually about a friend. All the females in her family have a tradition where their names have to begin with the first same two letters. So for her and with her mother, it's A-R, so her mother is Artemis, and she is Aristide. So anytime a daughter is born, their name must begin with an A-R, and then kind of the rest is up for grabs. But I'd never met either an Artemis or an Aristide in my life, and I just thought it was interesting. The other is, I have to echo what a lot of the other listeners have said. I'm also a teacher, and naming my two children was excruciating, for lack of a better word. But the little story that goes with my son's name, Beckett, was that when I was pregnant with him, my husband and I couldn't decide. He thought all of my names were outlandish. I thought all of his names were boring. And one day we stumbled across the name Beckett, and I really thought I'd won a victory when he approved the name. Well, it ended up that my husband only loved it because as a sports card collector, the magazine that categorizes them is called The Beckett. So he immediately latched onto that name, and I never knew the purpose behind it until afterwards. So wonderful topic today. Thank you for talking about this.
Well, thank you very much, Heidi. That's very interesting. I had not heard of those A-R-A names either. Had you, Laura?
No, those are new ones. And even if it's in the AR realm, they could have been choosing Arlene, but they decided to get a little more creative.
Yeah.
The story of Beckett is wonderful, that the same name can say Samuel Beckett to one person and Beckett's baseball cards or the pitcher Josh Beckett to another. I think there are a lot of names like that that the parents choose for different reasons. So Madden, for instance, might be the John Madden football video games to one parent and Madden shoes to another.
And who usually, talk a little bit about parents choosing names in terms of, they're not always on the same page, are they?
We're definitely not always on the same page. And it is common to hear of dads being a little bit more conservative or more comfortable with more common names and mom looking for something a little bit more creative. Unfortunately, it's also common to hear of cases where one parent just is eager to come up with 100 ideas and the other parent's job is to shoot them down. What you really want is whatever name you choose and however you choose it for it to be equal in a partnership.
Yeah. Well, I think my producer director Christy Taylor is her full name is Christina, and she just told me the story about how that was picked, and it was that mom wanted Christina and dad wanted Sabrina, so there might have been a little change in roles there, but I guess mom won and dad was okay with it. But I was wondering, so is it usually one they usually work on it together, or does mom usually win?
From what I hear, mom often wins simply because it's really hard to say no to somebody in her eighth month of pregnancy. But that said, ideally nobody should win.
Yeah.
The name is really the first kind of bridge to bonding with your child. It's when you're shopping for cribs and strollers, that's just a purchase. But your name is when you dream and imagine who this person could be. Nobody should be in the position of saying their child's name and feeling bad about it.
Yeah. It's funny, too, that mom liked Christina because it had so many nickname variations. But Christy, who has chosen that nickname for now, rather than the formal Christina, says she's not a Chrissy, she's not a Tina. So, I mean, it was... She almost wishes that Sabrina was the name that was picked because it was different.
I think it's actually nice that her parents at least wanted her to have that flexibility and let her choose the nickname she wanted. Today's parents are so obsessed with names. It really is a change from the past that very often they don't want any nickname to be possible because they want their child to use exactly the name they imagined. But inevitably, nicknames find their way to your kids in school.
We are talking with Laura Wattenberg. She is the creator of the baby name website, babynamewizard.com, author of the book, The Baby Name Wizard, and we are talking about naming babies and what goes into naming babies, what are some of the most popular baby names, what's trending. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now we are talking about baby names and the most popular baby names, according to the Social Security Administration, which released its annual list recently. I mentioned that Jacob fell out of the number one spot for boys' names, and now Noah is the new champion for boys' names in America. Sophia is the number one name for girls in America. That's the same as the year before. Let's go to Kim in Oshkosh. Hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have a little story. My daughter was born in 1986, and my husband and I were dead set on naming her Sarah. It was just a name we both liked. We clicked on it. We agreed on it pretty quickly. And after we had her, we did have a backup name, but we're like, oh, nope, we're going to stick with Sarah. And when I had her, the nurse said, well, what are you going to name her? And I said, well, I'm going to name her Sarah. And she's like, sweetie, there's five other Sarahs in the nursery.
Oh.
And so we ended up naming her Mallory.
Oh, my goodness. Was that the backup name, Kim?
That was the backup name.
And why did you have a backup name?
You know, I don't really know, but we did. We had two names for a boy and two names for a girl. And I don't know. We just decided that's what we did with all of our kids. We had two names, and I'm glad I had that backup name.
Yeah, and because you didn't want to have Sarah be just one of many Sarahs in the nursery.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, when she went to school, she had two friends, and their names were Sarah. It was like, well, I guess that worked out.
Sarah must have been a popular name in, what was it, 86, Kim?
1986.
Yeah. So, Laura, how about that story?
Well, that was nice that the nurse gave her a heads up.
Yeah.
It's funny because yeah. Sarah was not one of the top names in America then. There are kind of microclimates of style. For better and for worse, if you like a name, chances are your friends and neighbors are going to like it too. So even if you look at that Social Security Administration list, what's at the top in the country might not be the top in your town.
Yeah.
Which reminds me that coming later this week, the Social Security Administration will tell us the top names in each state. And at babynamewizard.com, we'll have that for Wisconsin so you can see what's going on closer to your community.
Interesting. Well, what influences different names in different states?
You see different climates of style that in the South and the Southwest, for instance, girls' names are a little bit more androgynous, but yet girly. They'll take a name that starts out on the boy's side, like Riley, and spell it in some way that makes it look more feminine. So it's sort of an androgynous cowgirl style that chances are you don't see nearly as much where you are.
Probably not. And are we a little bit more, I don't know, traditional in the Midwest?
The upper Midwest tends to be traditional, but with a really light touch. Names tend to be short and kind of with an airy feeling. So names like Owen, for instance, or Ethan for boys that have a little bit of a light touch.
Let's go to Greg in Eau Claire. Hello, Greg.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Well, what is your name story?
I'm interested in the name of Jethro. I know it's associated with the Beverly Hillbillies, and, you know, it gets probably a bad rep, but I just think that name it's a very strong name, and it's very earthy, and it's kind of, you know, it sounds biblical, and I'm just kind of wondering if it's in your list.
And I'm go ahead, Laura.
Jethro is indeed a classic biblical name, and he's right that the Beverly Hillbillies have sort of cast a pall over it. But names like that are starting to make a comeback, especially any name ending in an O. Leo, Milo, Bruno. That's a classic masculine sound that sounds a little bit more old-fashioned. I wouldn't be surprised to see Jethro overcome the TV show soon.
Yeah, and I also think of Jethro Tull, you know, sort of the rock band.
Yes, it was a band rather than a person.
Yeah. And so, Greg, is that a name that you're considering for a son? Or? Oops.
No, it's kind of an alter ego name. You know, but it's got the same, it's got the G, G and Greg and Jethro. And I also like the TH. It just rolls off the tongue well.
Neat.
I don't know.
Yeah, all right.
You'd say an alter ego because more of us do get to have alter egos now. So that's one beauty today in the online world is that if
you feel like there's another name you always wished your parents had chosen, you can adopt it for yourself.
Sure. Thanks, Greg, or Jethro, for the call. Gail in Grafton is with us now. Hi, Gail.
Good morning. I called because, well, I'm wondering where Gail would fit in the list, because I've run into very few Gails in my lifetime, maybe a few more now that I've gotten older. And my middle name is Eilith. I've never heard anybody with the name of Eilith. It's spelled I-L-Y-T-H-E. And my grandfather named my mother that. He had two cousins. One was Blossom and the other one was Eilith. And he said his first daughter was going to be named after one of those cousins, and Eilith won. This was in 1918. So anyway,
oh my goodness!
I was kind of curious.
Oh my goodness! Well, I've never heard of Eilith before.
I'm thrilled to hear a new name,
mm-hmm.
and to remember that parents had some creative naming impulses even a century ago.
Right. And what about Gail?
Gail is not a name you hear a lot today. The name Abigail has come back. In fact, not just come back, but is more popular than it ever was in our great grandparents' time. But people choose Abby. And Gail today is starting to regain a little bit of the androgynous character it used to have. Could be male or female, thanks to a male character, Gail, in The Hunger Games.
Yeah. Gail, thank you very much for the call. An email from Bruce. My full name, Bruce Smith, is pretty common. Here is the story I got from my mom. She was a big college football fan. Bruce Smith, a running back from the University of Minnesota, won the Heisman Trophy in 1941. Bruce Smith also played for the Packers in the NFL. So, he says, I guess I got lucky. Well, very nice. So, do we still name our children after sports heroes?
We definitely name our children after sports heroes. And you can even track sometimes the success of a player. I live near Boston, and the name Brady for boys as a given name has gone up and down perfectly with the success of the New England Patriots.
I wonder, I'm looking at Aaron or Roger should show up pretty soon in Wisconsin. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I'm sure you have a lot of Aaron.
Yeah, I'm sure we do too. Oh my goodness. Artis? Is that how you pronounce your name? Artis,
yes.
In Richland Center?
Yes, yes.
That's unusual, yeah.
Well, no, I find a lot of them over here. I came from Grant County over here. But it's A-R-D-Y-S. But I could be very paranoid because constantly on radio, TV, or wherever, everybody is talking about the musician, the writer. They are an artist. So, you see, the two are so close together. I wish they'd find another way to spell the word or use it or something, A-R-T-I-S-T. Because it could make me paranoid.
Oh,
I hear it so much.
Don't be paranoid, but artists, I guess I have heard the name before, but
yeah.
Laura, it's pretty common in southwest Wisconsin, apparently.
That is definitely a local name, not common in the rest of the country. But it's a funny thing we don't usually think about when naming our kids. What else does that name sound like? You're not alone. I know a woman named Kay, K-A-Y, perfectly normal name. But every time someone says, okay, she looks up like somebody's calling her.
Well, we just have about a minute to go. What trends are you seeing, in baby namings with this release of the latest list from the Social Security Administration?
Oh, I'll leave you with one more you might not expect, which is names from video game characters. Video games are now a bigger business than TV and movies, and people actually occupy and live in those characters for hours at a time. So that seems to be the next hot source of new names.
Can you give me a video game name?
Yes, the name Jax, J-A-X, was one of the Mortal Kombat stars. And now we're seeing babies named not only Jax, but Jackson with an X and Jaxton.
Oh, there we go. I kind of like Jax. Anyway, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Laura Wattenberg, creator of the baby name website, babynamewizard.com. Thanks to Christy Taylor and Robin Cherry for producing the program. This is the Ideas Network.